Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. This morning we will continue our study of the book of Revelation by looking at chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. I do want to back up, however, to chapter 6 and read a few verses, first of all, from the end of chapter 6, and then we will skip over to chapter 8, and I will read all of chapter 8. So we will begin the reading with Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has conquered and has won the victory for us. And we thank you, O God, that by your Spirit you have united us to Christ through faith, so that the victory he has won, he shares with us. And Father, we thank you for the Spirit who brings illumination to our minds so that we may rightly understand your word. We pray for your Spirit now to open our minds and our hearts to receive in faith this engrafted word which is able to save our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 6 and beginning in verse 9. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Now chapter 8, and beginning in verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. This is the word of God. Now, this morning, I want to focus our attention on the first five verses of Revelation chapter 8. These verses are about the seventh seal. You may remember that Christ was given a scroll that was sealed with seven seals. The first six of those seals were opened back in chapter 6. And here at the beginning of chapter 8, the last of the seven seals is opened. And so chapter 8 picks up where chapter 6 left off with the opening of the seven seals. When the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in heaven for about half an hour, chapter 8, verse 1 says. The silence indicates that the day of the Lord has arrived. The Lord has roused himself from his holy temple and is about to appear from heaven. And so all the inhabitants of heaven fall silent and stand in awe and dread of his coming judgment. That's the meaning of the silence in heaven. Now, that is confirmed by the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, silence is associated with the final judgment, the day of the Lord. For example, Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near." The day of the Lord refers to the final judgment at the end of the world. And that's what the silence of the seventh seal is all about. It tells us that the day of the Lord has come. The Lord has roused himself from his holy dwelling, his heavenly temple, and is preparing to execute the final judgment. And all his servants in his heavenly temple, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and the multitude of angels stand silent before him. As Zechariah 2, verse 13 says, "Be silent before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." And so the silence in heaven precedes the final judgment, which is described for us in verses 3 through 5 of Revelation chapter 8. And there we see that the angel of the Lord, the high priest of the heavenly temple, executes the final judgment. Verse 3 says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." Now, this angel here is no ordinary angel. He is the high priest of the heavenly temple. The incense ritual that he is performing at the golden altar of incense is the ritual that the high priest in the Old Testament would perform on the Day of Atonement. On that day, the high priest would take a large amount of incense into the temple of God, and with a golden censer in his hand, he would fill the Holy of Holies with incense before entering into the most holy place and standing before the throne of God. And the idea is that the high priest would ascend before the throne of God on a cloud of incense. The high priest in the Old Testament was pre-enacting the fulfillment of the prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, where the Son of Man ascends with the clouds of heaven and he comes before the Ancient of Days, God on his throne. Now, the cloud that is formed here in Revelation chapter 8 by the incense presented by this angel is the same cloud that the same angel is riding later in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, John sees a mighty angel coming down from heaven wrapped in a cloud, and his face was like the sun, and he had an open scroll in his hand. That's the same scroll that was sealed with seven seals, by the way. Now it is open. And later the same figure appears on the cloud once again. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, John said, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Now here the angel is called the Son of Man, and that makes it clear that this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ, of course, is the Son of Man who is coming with the clouds to execute the final judgment. And we noted that point all the way back in chapter 1 of Revelation. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. That's Revelation 1, verse 7. Now, all of that is connected to Revelation chapter 8. The angel standing at the golden altar before the throne of God with a golden censer in his hand is no ordinary angel. It is, in fact, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest of the heavenly temple. And he is preparing to execute the final judgment. That's the purpose of this incense ritual here. He's preparing to execute the final judgment. A vast quantity of incense is given to him, and with his golden censer, he fills the heavenly temple with smoke. And that smoke is the cloud of heaven that he rides when he emerges from that temple and passes through the veil, the firmament, and appears to all those who dwell on the earth. Behold, he is coming with the cloud, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Now, in Revelation chapter 8, having opened the seven seals, the seventh seal is open in verse 1, having opened the seven seals, Christ rouses himself from his throne at the right hand of the Father. He moves to the golden altar and takes his golden censer, and he fills the heavenly temple with smoke because the time has come for him to carry out the final judgment, to come with the clouds of heaven. In other words, the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord has arrived. And so all heaven falls silent. All heaven, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the multitude of angels, fall silent and stand in fear and dread of the final judgment that Christ, the great high priest, is about to execute. The angel with the golden censer is the angel of the covenant, or the angel of the Lord. Now, those are titles frequently used for Christ in the Old Testament. The word angel simply means messenger. It does not necessarily refer to a created being. And Christ, of course, is not created. He is not a created being. He is the eternal Son of God. Christ is an angel in the sense that he is a messenger, which is literally what the word angel means. He is the ultimate messenger because he brings the final revelation of God. As the great high priest of the new covenant, he is the angel of the covenant. He's the messenger of the covenant. And it is as the high priest that he presents the prayers of the saints before the throne of God. Look again at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "The angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." Now, this altar here is the same altar that we read about back in chapter 6, verse 9, which is why I wanted to read those verses again at the end of chapter 6. That altar in Revelation 6, 9, you may recall, is the place where the souls of the saints were. The souls of the saints were under that altar, and they were crying out to God for vindication. "How long, O Lord, before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" That's Revelation 6, verse 10. When Christ, as the high priest, offers incense at the golden altar in heaven, the smoke of his incense carries that prayer before the throne of God, where it is received as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And it is in answer to the prayers of the church that God sends Christ to execute the final judgment. There is a link, therefore, between the prayers of the saints and the final judgment. There's an inseparable link between those two things, the prayers of the saints and the final judgment. And that link is underscored in Revelation 8, verse 5, the same censer that Christ uses to present their prayers with incense to God is also used to execute the final judgment. It's the instrument he uses to carry out the final judgment. Now look at verse 5. Then the angel took the censer and he filled it with fire from the altar and he threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. That, you see, is the answer to the prayers of the saints. Christ presents these prayers to God with the golden censer, and in answer to those prayers, Christ performs this act. He fills the censer with fire from the altar. He throws it on the earth. So when those prayers are presented by Christ to God, they are answered by God. And the answer to their prayers is the final judgment. Thunder, rumblings, lightning, earthquake, that refers to the final judgment. And so the seventh seal is just that. It's the final judgment. It's the end of the world. It's the day of the Lord. And every time, you may not have realized this, but every time the church prays, "Thy kingdom come," which we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for the day of the Lord. We are praying for the consummation of the kingdom of God at the end of the world. Now, God has appointed a time for the return of Christ. God has already appointed that time for Christ to return and consummate his kingdom. When that time comes, here's what Revelation 8 teaches us. Christ will stand before the altar in heaven. When that appointed time has come, Christ will stand before the golden altar in heaven, before the throne of God. And with his golden censer, as the high priest of that heavenly temple, he will fill the heavenly temple with smoke. Then he will emerge from that temple, coming with the clouds of heaven, riding on that cloud. And every eye will see him, and he will appear to carry out the final judgment. That's the meaning of the seventh seal. Now, one other thing that I wanted to note this morning from Revelation chapter 8 is that verse 2 of Revelation 8 introduces the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets do not follow the seventh seal chronologically. The seventh seal is the end of the world. The seven trumpets don't follow the seventh seal chronologically. The seven trumpets take us back in time. They take us back in time to the tribulation period. And like the seven seals, they provide another overview of the tribulation. The seven seals give us an overview of the tribulation period. So do the seven trumpets. They provide us another overview of the tribulation period. By the time you get to the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, you've reached the end of the world. The seventh trumpet, again, is the day of the Lord. It's the final judgment. It's the end of the world. And so the seven trumpets are similar to the seven seals. Both describe a series of woes, a series of disasters that God unleashes upon the earth, which lead up to the final judgment, the day of the Lord, the consummation of his kingdom. Now, one of the things that we are going to see about the seven trumpets is that they are modeled on the plagues of Egypt, recorded in the book of Exodus. The woes unleashed on the earth by the trumpets are the worldwide versions of the plagues of Egypt, we might say. And that is in keeping with the Exodus theme of the apocalypse, the book of Revelation as a whole, which we have noted repeatedly. In the apocalypse, the story of the Exodus is being played out on a cosmic scale. Now, another thing to bear in mind about the seven trumpets is that the disasters brought about by the seven trumpets are more severe, they are more intense than those brought about by the seven seals. The seven seals are only the beginning of birth pains. Things get worse. Things get worse as the tribulation continues. And so, cheer up. Things are going to get worse. Now, I know that's not what you want to hear, but that's the nature of the beast. Literally, the beast. That's the nature of the beast. Things are going to get worse. The seven trumpets give us another overview of the tribulation period, but it's escalated. It's more severe. It's more intense. Now, the seven bowls, which is another series of judgments that lead up to the final judgment, the end of the world, the day of the Lord, they intensify even more. They're even more severe than the seven trumpets. So you have these different overtures that cover the same tribulation period, but at different levels of intensity from different perspectives. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we will look once again at the seven trumpets.